Howdy. Just getting some time on the beach here. Don't mind me. Soaking up the sun. Bathing in the tide pools of Inner Ahom. According to a family tale, this is what my great-great-great-grandmother did when she was in Guam. She would bathe in the tide pools in Inner Ahom and was waiting for a lover. So, years later, I find myself doing the same thing. Trying to learn from her wisdom.
Thank you.
in the tide pools of Inner Ahom. Inner Ahom is the name of the village in Guam where my grandmother is from. And bathing in the waters here grants special healing powers. So what I'm trying to do tonight is to travel through time to further understand these healing powers. But there's a cost. So traveling through linear time like this flattens, and I float around bodiless. Staying true to linear time means the production are still visible and vulnerable to exploitation. My arms and my head are still visible. So let's go time traveling. Half a day. Welcome to Guam. Wait, do you hear that? Do you hear that sound? I hear laser beams and a dog. That must mean that everyone here has won a free trip to Guam. Look under your seats. Tell them what they've won. Tell the people. Tell the people what they've won. I saw you looking. So you and a guest, that's me. You and a guest will be flying round trip from New York City to Guam for a 6-night stay in a suite overlooking Thuban Bay. Daily breakfast as well as VIP table service will be included in your tickets after the show. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be serious. Serious mode. Sorry about that. There's no seats. Round trip tickets. We just have this green screen. So we got a studio audience here tonight. Thank you for joining. I'm happy to have you join me on this trip to Guam. We're only going to be here for a little bit, so don't worry. I just wanted to share with you some of the amazing sights and sounds, right? Because we're on this round trip ticket. So this is Guam in the 1950s, just after the war. My uncle just sent me these photos. He lives on Guam still. So Guam, in a military sense, is known as the tip of the spear for the U.S. It's nicknamed the place where America wakes up, based because it's time zone. So we're just driving around. You know, it's pretty small island. I think you can get around in about 2 hours. I'm just driving around. This is actually Inner Ahom. I think we were over there. Yeah, right here. Sorry. Means of production are still a little hazy with this time travel. We're figuring it out. But the tide pools are over there. We were just there. And now we're just like floating magically above Inner Ahom. But this is the village where my family grew up and raised the family. This is in the 1950s, just before the war, or after the war, rather. This always trips me out because I see this, like, how did they get that thing up there? It's amazing. It's beautiful. Yeah, the military, you mentioned that, tip of the spear. You know, after the war, a lot of the Chamorros thought that, you know, some of them thought that joining the military, this was kind of like a liberation almost of means, right? Sort of a legacy of survival, having survived the Great War, having survived the occupation for Japan. So you have war, colonialism. So none of us should really be here, but yet here we are. And really the way forward shouldn't really be about just survival on its own. It doesn't define me or my family or who tomorrows are. So maybe if I'm slick about it, if I play my cards right here. There we go. Maybe we can ask some of these people here in this church if they've heard of my family. Let's just kind of sidle up next to this guy right here. Which side is he? No, he's this way. Hey. Hey, buddy. Hey. You know the Meadow family? No. I know, it's weird too. I have no body. I don't understand it. All right, thanks. Yeah. I don't know what's going on right now. And now I'm just floating in the middle of the street. Wrong one. It's time travel stuff. It's a blast. Y'all gotta try it sometime. I mean, we're doing it, but if you were up here and doing this thing, you know. So we're still driving around the island here. But eventually what I want to do is get to my grandfather, Joaquin. This is probably the hotel that y'all will be staying at. A 6-night stay with that VIP bottle service, the breakfast. All right, so there's Joaquin. I've only known him for like 3 months. He passed away just after I was born. So it's too bad that guy in the church didn't, you know, couldn't tell me more about him, because I'm really trying to, you know, understand. You know, who Joaquin is. Sometimes when I see my uncles, I'm like, hey, are you Joaquin? You know, like, they're just my uncles. You know, it's not really Joaquin. Anyway, you know, my time travel, we can stay here a little bit longer with Joaquin, so we're just going to do that for a second. He was in the Navy, of course, as I mentioned earlier, and saw a possibility with him and his family to move to Guam, or move away from Guam and move to the States. I'm not really sure what base he was stationed at, but I think it was like Edwards Air Force Base, or maybe it's like a naval base somewhere. Anyway, he was in the Navy, served in multiple wars. Anyway, the point of the story is I'm really curious how this person sounds, you know, with no recordings or anything, or any, you know, documentation other than photos like this. So it's one of those things that I just kind of. It's a mystery, but with time travel, it's pretty amazing because we can just stand right, you know, it's kind of scale, I guess. A lot of the Chamorro men, they're very, like, strong, silent types, very stoic, you know, very foundational that you can, like, trust in them. He called me the red boy, because I guess I just had, like, red skin growing up. Yeah, let's keep going. Yeah, here we go. This is Grandma Dolores. She's the best in the center there. And this is like the passport photo, you know, like they just like took the photo like this. Kids crying in the center, you know, it's just like, took the photo. So this is how they got into the U.S. basically, this passport photo. And this was in the, I'm checking my time travel, right? This is in the 50s, mid 50s. Screen there. This is the altar. There's like a very familiar smell whenever I go into this like room and just look at this photo. It's weird how smell is like part of a deeply ingrained memory, but we would spend every Sunday going to Grandma Dolores' house. every Sunday, she would cook a huge meal for the family. These were like uncles, my uncles, you know, like my aunts, their kids' kids. So, you know, it's like 30, 40 people every weekend. This is, you know, crammed into this garage. And then once every year, we'd go into this room and pray a novena. It was really the only time I heard Chamorro being spoken or even sung was in this context here, which is, again, I wish I could find recordings of that or someone singing, but with time travel, you know, we have this photo here, so this works. And then Joaquin, oh, sorry, Joaquin. There we go, that's better. Joaquin and Dolores. And me. But just half of me. And this is their house. Yeah, they raised a pretty large family in this house. Everyone was kind of like packed into these rooms and, you know, three or four people to a room. My aunts have really funny stories about, they're probably watching out there in the ether, of packing into this house. We can do a little tour of the house. I think it's, you know, worth time traveling through. All right, here we go. There we go. So this is Uncle Roy. And literally when I showed up to my grandma's house, he was just there painting the fence, which is amazing. Just hanging out there, got a chair. So whenever you meet an elder, this is just growing up, this is part of the custom that I learned, whenever you meet an elder, you're expected to hug, give them a hug, you know, kiss them on the cheek, kiss your aunties on the cheek. And actually for men, you shake their hand. It's like a firm handshake. So a lot of the men, they would just like crush my hand growing up. Now, Uncle Roy was the most gentle for sure. Super, super gentle. So I had to relearn this custom, of course, and even in the process of describing it, still kind of relearning it, and there's like a lot of like fake outs, like, am I gonna like hug this person? You know, like, how's this gonna work out? Uncle Roy just got it though. He's like, hey, how's it going? You know, got a hug from him. But he really worried us last summer. It was really good to see him painting this fence because he checked himself into the hospital, his chest pain, that kind of stuff. And it turned out he needed quadruple bypass surgery. So when I saw him here at this gate, he was like, hey, you know, good to see you. I feel like I'm on borrowed time. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty intense. But then I kind of thought about it for a second, and I also feel like I'm kind of in similar situations. I'm not having gotten quadruple bypass surgery, but still feeling in some kind of borrowed time or whatever that means. But you know, I wonder who we're borrowing it from. If they want repayment or if they even notice, right? But yeah, it felt really good to see him. We could keep driving around here. This tree is pretty amazing. So like as a kid, you would just kind of go under this thing and it would be like so many, you know, mandarins, oranges under this thing, and you could just, you know, take in that citrus smell. And that's kind of, you know, some of my aunts would do that too when they would greet you as another greeting. Chamorros would do, they would put their head in your neck and, you know, just kind of like breathing your soul or something. Really intense way of meeting someone, or introducing yourself rather. But yeah, let's see what's going on in the backyard. Thank you. That's Uncle Roy.
That's a nectarine tree.
Right here.
That one growing, and that one over there is a peach tree.
Wait, this one's a peach tree?
That's a peach tree, that one over there.
Oh, wow.
The little one.
Oh, the little one.
Yeah, I got those at the nursery 2 weeks ago.
Those are cool.
Because there used to be some back here, but you know, they all died.
Right.
But I like fruit. We got too much citrus.
Fields, right, yeah, yeah.
Orange, lemon.
I remember the lemon and this, like a mandarin tree, right?
Right, that's a mandarin.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a cat.
Yeah, there's a cat up there. Yeah, I remember that mandarin tree. You would just walk next to it and you could smell all the citrus. But you got white paint all over you.
That's okay.
It just splashes everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, Nacho.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is a mango tree. And this is a mango tree.
Right here.
Yeah. That's mango. This is plumeria.
Yes. My mom has those.
Yeah. Another orange tree.
Too
much citrus.
Too much citrus.
Too much.
I don't see any mangoes though.
You see these little buds?
Yeah.
They're blooming now.
Oh, these are the...
By summer.
Okay. Then you'll have mangoes by summer.
Yeah, there'll be mangoes.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
The flies like it.
Yeah, what they're doing is pollinating right now.
Yeah.
And half of them will be lost, but there'll be some growing still.
Nice.
This is a very healthy tree.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. And these have been here since the house.
Yeah. Look at this, the size of this guy.
Yeah. These are cool.
I think Gene's got giant ones at her place. And that's an apple tree. Those two over there are apple trees. Those two were from seed.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, grandma, you can get a seed and put it in the ground. Those are apples. They produce, too. I get apples around November. And this one's from the desert.
Mm. What's that?
It's like a bottle brush, a mini bottle brush. They call it bottle brush. I took when grandma's last trip with us, when we went to Las Vegas and Laughlin. And I guess these were out in a flower bed. She liked it. So what she did was she saw it was blooming, had a seed. She wrapped it up in a handkerchief and put it one there.
Just took it, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
And grew. That's why I got to keep it alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, her legacy.
Exactly. I mean, there's all kinds of stories in these plants.
Sure. And then this one, this is the mother plant of the mother plant of the mother plant. I got her one plant. There's this plant, right? This is a blooming, what do you call them? Bloom. Yeah, that's always something to do around here. Always something to do. Grandma just got them and threw them as a seed, and these things grew, and she planted them, and they're mean. They cut me many a time, you know. Many a time. See, all this stuff I had to pull out. I pulled them out off by hand.
Mm.
You know, all these little suckers, they call them, you know? Because I want them to be like a like a bonsai plant.
Oh, sure, yeah.
All the energy will go out to the branches and you get bigger fruit. See, I want bigger fruit, quality, better than quantity.
Right.
Before this thing would get quantity, but
it would just
quantity.
Grow in really dense, yeah. But
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so what I do, I just pick them off, you know, all these little runners. So this thing was filled up with last week, see? All this stuff, so I just,
That's it.
I'm navigating a space that's quite narrow. It's about the width of a human spine, maybe. My grandmother would ask me to do this to her. She'd ask me to walk on her back like this. It's therapeutic for her. To be her chiropractor at the age of 6. She would point to parts of her back like this, like this, and like this. Probably not that high though. Trying to navigate this small space that I'm in. And in this navigation, trying to expand with her love that she provided. Trying to expand with her. Thank you. When I was younger, I thought when I was walking on her back that I would hurt her, irreparably damage her spine or break something. She trusted in me, told me this wasn't possible. So here we are, back at the Inarahan pools where our time travel journey began. As I was reflecting in the waters earlier, having a chance to think about what my experience means in the context of my family's history, and in an intergenerational sense, a reflection of what someone has experienced about themselves centuries ago, maybe even dreamed of this possibility. So in the expansion of what's possible, people in my family have often said to me, if you're happy, then I'm happy for you. And then they say that they're quoting Grandma Dolores. And as I try to think of what the way forward looks like, beyond colonialism, war, and survival, I keep coming back to those words. And the trust in her love. Thank you.